Pounding the midnight earth, the hard music of armour, sword and spur, and men's voices shouting in the late autumn of 1600. Captain Wilmot's cavalry, armed with the finest muskets Queen Elizabeth's treasury can procure, stop before the gates of Listowel Castle and by the banks of the River Feel, which flows out of the mountains in neighbouring County Limerick, meandering around Listowel on its way to the Atlantic coast nearby. The garrison refused to surrender. Above the swift water, heads fly. The blood seeps into the salmon pools. 9 Englishmen are killed, but the Irish cannot hold out. They beg for terms, but are refused. They must accept the captain's discretion, which means death in a more or less dreadful form. Wilmot kills them by hanging, a comparative leniency by the bloody standards of the day, according to my father. After the surrender, the legs of 18 suffocating men kick to the laughter of Wilmot's men. My father reaches to his throat to mimic the act of hanging. The priest who is found with the garrison is spared, however. Not for him the breaking of joints with heavy irons, the agonising death that is the fate of another clergyman found near Dingle. The priest has a bargain to offer. He tells Wilmot that the rebel Lord Kerry's son, but 5 years old, almost naked and besmirched with dirt, has been smuggled out of the castle by an old woman. Who better than the heir to lure the lord into surrender? The old woman and boy are found in a hollow cave and are sent to Dublin with the priest, but their fate is not recorded. My father pulls ghosts out of history every night. I know that in reality there are no riders, as the field behind my grandmother's house is unmarked when I check it the next morning. "Sure, that's your father for the stories," Hannah jokes to me when I return. My grandmother has stories too. She is part of more recent wars. If only she would tell me. She fought the English and was threatened with execution. But her stories will remain untold in her own voice. I am grown and my father is dead when I discover how faithfully he brought the Elizabethan past to life. In the late 16th century, the conquering English had swept their enemies before them. After capturing Listowel, they rode on into Limerick. The president of Munster, Sir George Carew, reported back to London that they had killed all mankind that were found therein, for a terror to those that should give relief to renegade traitors. "Thence we came into Arlo Woods, in County Limerick, where we did the like, not leaving behind us man, or beast, or corn, or cattle." Livestock was slain by the thousand, and corn trampled and burned. The Irish peasants were butchered or driven away, so that rebels and plotting Spaniards might make no use of them. Ireland was a nest of potential traitors. The possibility of the invasion of England through the back door to the west loomed large in the imaginations of Tudor statesmen and soldiers. Rebellions, supported by the Pope and the Spanish King, reinforce the English terror of the Protestant Reformation being reversed. Such endings, they knew well, only came in tides of blood. Elizabeth's spymaster, Sir Francis Walsingham, had been in Paris on the 24th of August 1572 and lucky to escape the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre of Protestant Huguenots. A delighted Pope Gregory XIII offered a Te Deum and had a special medal struck, rejoicing that the Catholic people had triumphed over such a perfidious race. The European wars of religion brought an exterminatory savagery to Ireland. In the Munster of my ancestors, unknown thousands were killed in battle, slaughtered out of hand, and starved or killed by disease. The severed heads that line the path to the tent of Sir Humphrey Gilbert, celebrated soldier, explorer and half-brother of Sir Walter Raleigh, were deemed a necessary price for making Ireland a land ripe for the benefits of English civilization, lining the pockets of English adventurers and keeping England safe from the existential threat posed by the kings of Catholic Europe. 2. History began with my father's stories. It was our history. He had no interest in complex agency, only in the evidence of English perfidy, of which there was abundant evidence on our long walks during holidays around the ruined castles of North Kerry. Eamon was a professional actor, one of the most gifted of his generation, and his voice, the rich, beguiling voice of those stories, has followed.